Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of Undying Light. I am your host, Alex, and I am back at it with you again with another new episode. We just keep cranking them out every single week, and I got a full plate. I'll be honest, being a pastor at a small church does eat up a lot of time during the day, and being a new father eats up a lot of time during the day. And so there's a ton of stuff going on right now on my plate that is just keeping me incredibly busy, but I am still finding time to crank out these new episodes and still finding a way to ensure that my content stays fresh and you guys stay satisfied as listeners. If you haven't heard the news, my wife had a baby boy last week. I had mentioned on last Friday's episode that I'd be in the hospital, and I forgot to actually load it into the system, so it didn't debut until like the middle of the afternoon. But I tried to get it out as quick as possible when we got home. We got home Friday, and everything was really, really good so far, and so I'm very blessed. God is way too good to me, and so we have a healthy baby boy. He's actually upstairs right now hanging out with my wife. He's a little over a week old. He was born last Wednesday, and big sister is happy to have a little brother in the house, and so we have a busy household, and you know, everything is moving along as well as it can be. And that just means there's a ton of stuff going on in my day. I'm in seminary a couple days a week, and doctor's appointments, and things going on with the church. It requires a lot of attention, and so I'm constantly pushing to get stuff done and get everything kind of laid out in terms of, you know, what my ministry and all that entails. And, you know, like I said, produce content. And I think that, you know, it's exceptionally important that I kind of keep to my schedule and continue to produce content, because that is what we signed up for when I originally, had taken over Undying Light. I had holstered that burden, if you would, of producing weekly content. And we haven't missed a Friday since. We've produced content every single week, and we will continue to do so. So it is just a matter of, you know, working through some of the difficulties and complications of life. And, you know, for the patrons, I apologize this week. You didn't get the episode ahead of time. Normally, if you are a patron, you get it a week early. or, you know, about 4 or 5 days early. But most of the time, the patrons aren't generally into, and I've asked them, they some of them like it early, but most of them will listen to it on release day. Most of them enjoy the other content that we produce, and that that includes commentaries, Bible studies, just the general chats that are available to them. I mean, all of these things, right, that people can become a part of. And, you know, as I've looked at many different types of patron out there, whether they're Christian or not, everybody utilizes those tiers. You know, for $1, you get a big thank you. For $5, you get a thank you and, you know, this and that. And, you know, I'm when I started to evaluate that, I realized I can't sell the gospel. And I've mentioned this before. I can't sell the gospel, but I can sell you my time. And if you find that my time is valuable, $1 a month or more, some people give more. But for as low as $1, you can jump in and contribute to this ministry and become a part of it. And you would be a true blessing. And it truly, like I said, goes a long way to helping us support the show and continue to produce content, because it's mainly, you know, my patrons are the biggest reason I do the show. And, you know, and then for all of you extra listeners, you know, I want you to continue to have good, sound, biblical content being poured into your ears. There's not a lot of us out here in this, you know, media and producing content that is sound. A lot of it is fluffy. If you go and look at the top podcasts and Christian in the Christian circle on like iTunes, you probably will be pretty hard fetched to find a sound biblical podcast. Most of them are going to be like your Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer or whatever, you know, cup of tea is popular that week. You will not find, you know, many sound biblical podcasts out there. And there's great ones out there that produce, you know, old sermons. You know, Legionnaire does the R.C. Sproul sermons and stuff like that. And they've got great teaching positions, and those are wonderful. I love Legionnaire. And there's some really good other podcasts out there. You know, maybe I'll do a segment sometime and just kind of shout out my best shows at some point in the future. But I know that from, you know, my perspective, I have some smaller shows that I absolutely love and support, and that's Chris from Ezra Reads the Law and Thomas from Redeemed Meditations. If you haven't listened to either one of those shows, go and do so. It will be well worth your time. I've been on both. They've both been on my show. I absolutely love them. As well as those guys over in New York known as the Bible Dingers. They are another great group of guys. I love being on their show. I was just on their YouTube channel the other day, and I love having them on my show. They are a great group of individuals, so go show them some love and support too. So today, guys, it's going to be a bit shorter of an episode just due to time constraints. And we will try to get through as much content as we can, but I'm thinking we're going to probably cap her around 30 minutes just because of all the things that are on my plate this week. Next week, we'll go back to that 45-minute mark. But, you know, and if you guys like the shorter shows, then by all means, let me know. I mean, that's something that I've always kind of played with. Is it better to have shorter segments, you know, 30 minutes long, and do an extra 5 or 10 shows, or do you want 45-minute shows and do less shows in the content because I can cover more ground in that time? So let me know, and you know, that way I can figure out how to stack my time and my days up. So without further ado, let's get into the content. We are in chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon. We are going through this series called The Least of These, and it is a series on content that you will not hear preached from in a pulpit. And most of the time, you probably have never read some of these passages. So I figured some of the stuff that you don't often hear about or talk about is going to be beneficial to your ears. We've talked about the in-depthness so far of the Song of Solomon and you know, the importance of it in the modern church. And I want to ensure, you know, the readers and listeners that this is a book that's not as graphic in nature as a lot of extra biblical commentary people try to make it. So if we come across a particular passage, which, by the way, verse 5 in chapter 4 has a little bit of some of that extra language in it, we will cover it as needed. Now, we will probably gloss over it because it looks like I don't really have much on my notes that actually deal with that particular verse. We'll, you know, probably just move past it in reading. So again, Song of Solomon, not for everybody, but it's a good book to read. And I advise you to spend some time just reading it and maybe get a good study Bible and study along with it just to pull some of the meat and material out of what is actually happening here. So in verse 1, let's start our reading here. Solomon admires his bride's beauty. This is what he writes. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. Now, I don't know if you're going to go and win many people over, guys, if you're going to go out and write a poem to your woman and say, your eyes are doves behind your veil. Okay, not a big deal. But your hair is like a flock of goats. I don't know if you're going to win many people over with that, but we're going to look into this a little bit more here. He continues, your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost its young. Your lips are like a scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David built on the rows of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies. All right, let's stop here at verse 5. If you can't tell the progression that Solomon is making here, he's moving from the top of her head down. Now we are at her chest at the end of verse 5. And so he's describing to us his infatuation with her beauty. So we start with the doves here. It's the describing his bride's eyes, which she hides behind her wedding veil. Gilead is this hilly region north of Jerusalem where Jacob made the covenant with Lebanon in Genesis 31. Verse 2, this washing is newly shorn sheep, smooth from shearing, and then wet from washing makes an apt comparison to glistening wet teeth in her mouth. The bear twins, the smile suggests that the Shulamite's teeth are well matched and symmetrical. Interestingly enough, you probably wouldn't get too much of that elsewhere in terms of the teeth being that good. This is what Luther writes on verse 2 here. As you know, one commands whiteness in teeth, darkness in eyes, just as the image of the hair displays the agreement of the teachers among themselves. So also we see that teeth are arranged in order to give each other help, as it were. But the function of teeth is to bite. It is required of a teacher that he should be powerful in arguing and convincing. However, this should be carried out in such a way that the teeth nevertheless remain white. That is, it should be done without acrimony, without bitterness and hatred, as seeking correction, not revenge. This kingdom, he says, has teachers like this. And so Luther is comparing the analogy of the teeth to sound biblical teachers. Again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, in this particular series, Luther has some interesting perspectives that he's actually cultivating out of this. He's not just exegeting the verses and just saying, okay, this is what, you know, Solomon is writing about, but he's actually looking at it and digging into the depths of scripture and saying, you know, what do these compare to? How are these to be reflective of images that are truly displayed from a biblical Christian worldview. And so he's using the teeth here as an analogy for sound teachers and, showing how they are required to be strong and brilliant, yet not full of bitterness and hatred. You know, he doesn't need the teeth to rot out and decay. And so just a piece of analogy, not every, preacher is going to look at this particular passage and cultivate that out, but it's something interesting to look at and just sit and resonate on and say, that's a very different perspective. I've never really heard of it used that way. Verse 3, the scarlet thread, the crimson in color and vividly eye-catching, the pomegranate, the red, rich fruit, with the description of the rosy-cheeked bride. The Tower of David in verse 4, probably a tower in Jerusalem built by David to fortify his defenses. The shields are polished for decoration, perhaps indicating a necklace the Shulamite wears. Obviously, verse 5 is pretty self-describing, how he's kind of fawning over his bride's chest. Verse 6, until the day breathes and the shadows flee, I will go away to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the peak of Amana, and from the peak of Sinar and Hermon, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of leopards. That ends verse 8. So the day breeze, we talked a little bit about this back when we went over chapter 2, indicating that the early morning breezes stirred by the warming of the earth as the rising of the sun, or the cooling of the breezes at dusk. The myrrh and frankincense allude to the Shulamite's breasts. This is especially following verse 5. Jumping down to verse 8, obviously verse 7 is pretty self-explanatory. Verse 8, Lebanon, the mountainous region to the north, is known for cedars and junipers, which Solomon imported for building the temple and his palace. The Shulamite's family may have been from a town here near Lebanon, but still in Israel. Solomon may have escorted his bride to the lofty ranges of Lebanon to show her his kingdom. This Amana, the anti-Lebanon range north of Israel, the Sinar and Hermon, these are possible synonyms for Mount Hermon, the tallest peak in the anti-Lebanon mountain range. And the dens of lions and the mountains of leopards in the company of her bridegroom, the Shulamite will be safe even amidst such wild creatures as lions and leopards, which may also refer to the people in the region. Solomon calls his bride out of association with them. And we actually see a reference here to Revelation 18:4, where John is writing, "Then I heard from a voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues.'" God has given the warning there in Revelation. We talked about that a few weeks ago as we finished up the book of Revelation. And that is the calling out of the Christians out of the sinful nature and the sinful world. And so Solomon here is calling out his bride from her people. Let us continue. Verse 9. "And you have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. Your lips drip nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. And the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. A spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with all the choicest fruits, henna and nard, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all of the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the choice spices, a garden fountain, a well of living water, and the flowing streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, blow upon my garden, let its spices flow. And then she writes here that together in the garden of love, let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. All right, so some interesting stuff happening here. Let's dig into verse 9 and closing out chapter 4. This sister implies the intimacy of the bride and her husband as though they were of one blood and one flesh. This is a referencing to Genesis 2:24 and Ephesians 5:31. Now, interesting note, a new series I'm preaching on at my church. I am going to go over, I've titled it Bible Stories, but the series is basically going to encompass all of the Sunday school stories we learned as kids. And so I thought it would be really creative and unique to go back into some of these stories and really preach on them, because many people just don't hear about them too often in the church. And so this particular Sunday, we are starting the series at the 26th will be week one, and we are going to start in Genesis 1. And so we're going to do Genesis 1 this week. Next week, we're doing Genesis 2, which will actually encompass this husband, you know, Adam and Eve becoming one flesh. And then we will do Genesis 3, the fall, in a couple of weeks. And then we're going to look at like Noah, and then we're going to go to Abraham. We're going to spend a couple of weeks talking about Abraham, and then we're going to move on. We're going to hit some of the highlights in Genesis, and then we're going to get into Moses and Exodus. We're going to spend probably a few weeks there and go on. So I have a very long sermon series, but it's going to encompass many different stories along the way. And so if you are interested in following that, you can check us out, Stratford Evangelical Lutheran. We're on Facebook. Send us a friend request and or send us a message on Facebook. We're on YouTube. You can watch us there as well, Stratford EV Lutheran. And you can catch our services streamed 10 a.m. Central every Sunday morning. So, and if you have any questions, DM me on Facebook or Instagram, and I will, get you the links that are appropriate for your needs. But I really want to encompass that this podcast is going to be bridging into part of the ministry that I do at church. And so I really want to stress that if you follow this show, come hear me preach. By all means, I would love for you to come and listen to my sermons. You don't have to tune in for the whole service. You can even come after the streaming happens, jump to the sermon minute mark, and then watch the sermon and be done with it. That would be fine by my means. But I would love if you would just come and listen to the sermons, because I'm really excited for this series. All right, verse 11, drips nectar, my bride, honey and milk are under your tongue. May refer to the sweetness of the Shulamite's breath, her speech, or to the pleasure derived from her kiss. The garden locked, a garden or a spring locked, a fountain sealed. Vivid descriptions. Now, here we go. If you couldn't pick up the analogies by just reading it, based upon what is happening, as I mentioned, he's starting at the top of her head and describing downward. If you haven't picked up on the images, make sure you have no small ears around. Again, whatever you feel is appropriate for young people. I would not let my kids listen to, you know, some of this stuff just because they're young and the maturity level is just not there yet. So I really advise you, if you need to pause the show, pause it, come back later, because the garden locked, the spring locked, a fountain sealed is a very vivid description of something. And if you can't pick that up yet, I'm giving you enough time to pause the show and come back when you are by yourself or with, you know, mature ears. But this description is of her premarital virginity and chastity, right? It's just the way they spoke, or the way Solomon spoke in these words. And so, you know, you just have to take it as it is. He is describing her virginity and the chastity as a garden locked. She has not been with any other man. She has not laid with any man. She is not fornicated or any of that. She is a virgin ready for marriage. And he is He is relishing that truth. That was, you know, in this particular time period, and really, you know, all through Genesis, we see examples of it, and all through the scripture, we see examples of it, that women and men were, you know, were saved for marriage. You know, they did not have sex outside of marriage. In today's climate, it is rare for people to have saved themselves for marriage. And so this is something, you know, especially that I really want to instill in my kids, is the importance of sex inside of a marriage that has been blessed by God, and how sex inside of that blessed marriage can be enjoyable. And with that, as I mentioned, Solomon is describing vividly here, but he's not coming out and explicitly saying. He's giving us analogies, and he's doing quite a job with it. A garden locked, a spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates. So he's given us the descriptions here, and it pays us attention if we go back to what we started with in chapter 4, as he's describing his love for his bride from the top of her head down to her feet and everything in between. Luther says this on the description is indicative of the church being sealed and set apart from all others by God's gifts of the word, this baptism and sacrament of the altar. Now, I'm going to read here. I got Luther's notes. I'm going to read this really quick because I think it helps for us to pay attention here. Verse 11, your lips are dripping honeycomb. Thus far, he has been giving thanks and proclaiming an outstanding gift that God has instituted government and priesthood among his people. Now he adds that God not only has instituted these things, but has made them prosper so that the effectiveness of fruit for his arrangement permanent through the whole people. The honeycomb is a people that has the ministry of the word, that is the dialogue and mutual consolation, and the dripping honeycomb that is the spread of it in all directions. The sweetness and purity of doctrine pervade the entire people. Milk, those who are sick are fed with milk, and those this also functions of the word, for God does not cast them away, cast away the infirm. And so, again, Luther's using a deeper view of this text, and he's not necessarily just giving us a, you know, like-to-like comparison of Solomon describing his bride, but he's saying Solomon is also giving us additional analogies here for how God has cultivated his kingdom, his government, his people, his church, his word. And this is exactly the same love relationship that Jesus Christ has with his people as Solomon has with his bride. And that's, you know, that equivalent is painted, you know, in many different denominations, that this particular book shares those comparisons. And so let's continue here in 13 and 15. These are a list of Near Eastern spices demonstrating the Shulamite's lavish virtues. Verse 13, the shoots, this expansion of the metaphor of the Solomite bride as a garden. Similarly, scripture often describes God's people as a vineyard, as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 20 and John 15. The calamus, the spice, reed, an aromatic plant, the cinnamon included with the calamus and myrrh, and the ingredients for anointing oil and used for consecrating the tabernacle, going all the way back to Exodus 30. Frankincense is specified for use in the tabernacle, again, Exodus 30, grain offerings from Leviticus 2, and the bread of the presence from Leviticus 24. Aloes, associated with the description of the king's robes in Psalm 45. And then obviously verse 15, the living waters, this is a flowing and not stagnant water. And so we could essentially sum up chapter 4 with this: like Solomon calling the Shulamite, our Lord calls us to come out of the wilderness and to reside in communion with him. He calls us holy, beautiful, stainless, and pure. He calls us forgiven in his gospel. As I've made mention,
There are many views where this text has two functions. It is the function of Solomon and his bride and the function of Jesus Christ and his church. Solomon is an analogy for Jesus. The bride is an analogy for the Shulamite. And so both views fit well into this text, and we can read both of those as we continue moving through the remaining few chapters in this book. So, guys, again, I'm going to cut the episode shorter this week. We went through all of chapter 4. Next week, we'll breeze through chapter 5, 16 verses. If we've got time, we can get through chapter 6, and then we'll do 7 and 8 together. So we'll try to wrap the Song of Solomon up in the next 2 weeks. But because of all the things going on in my day, I needed to make a shorter episode this week, but I still wanted to produce content and get it out into your ears. So guys, again, if you want to come join us on Patreon, we are patreon.com/undyinglight. And you can join us for as little as $1 a month. Throw it on a credit card, forget about it, and come have some fun with us. We are active in our chat on Discord and Instagram, and we are constantly dropping new material. A lot of it is exclusive for patrons only. This Bible study, we're going through the book of Hosea, and we just started. So if you join us, you can get access to all previous studies. That includes Hosea and the Gospel of Mark that we went through in the last year and a half, and all previous posts, which I have a ton of them, actually. I'm curious. I'm going to actually look and see if I can get you a number, how many times I've posted to patrons since we've set up here. I think I have to go to like my front page here. Let me see. 3 posts, 1 painting. That doesn't tell me much. Hey, you know what? It doesn't. There's a lot. I would venture to say there's hundreds of posts, and there's a ton of stuff. I give you my sermon notes. I give you the Bible study. I'm trying to do a commentary as I can in terms of getting the material written, but it's been slow going since towards the end of my wife's pregnancy and the birth of my son. So those have been slightly delayed, but they're still there. So by all means, come join us. And as soon as we hit 75 patrons, I'm doing a giveaway. We're going to give a commentary away to patrons. I've given away Bibles, premium Bible, books, and all sorts of different stuff for them. And they've really loved and enjoyed that stuff. So by all means, come join us. If you have questions, DM me. I'll be more than happy to answer. Otherwise, guys, I will see you next week as we will continue our trudge through the Song of Solomon. Until next week, God bless. Have a great weekend.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.